Hello, welcome to the Girly Pop Gang. We are your hostesses.
I'm Lexi.
And I'm Hannah Grace. In today's podcast, we will be talking about
gender and feminism and how they're seen in Their Eyes Were Watching God
by Zora Neale Hurston. We will be bringing two of our peers and their outside sources. We will be interviewing Zoe Potter and Sarah Tate. And also, we will be bringing our personal afflictions into this as well. So we hope you enjoy.
We're going to go ahead and get started with our first interview. Zoe?
Hi. Hello.
All right. And the first question we have for Zoe is,
what are traditional stereotypes of men and women?
Traditional stereotypes of men and women in our time period today is probably, I would personally say that they're pretty equal. We do have a lot of different beliefs with feminism and how men are superior to women still in a lot of areas, how they are viewed that way. But a lot of people believe that women are just as equal to men in all aspects. However, in the time period that we're talking about, the book was, wouldn't y'all say that the book was, it was, the era was around, like, 1936 and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, during that time, the Great Depression was going on, and it swept over the entire nation of America, and a lot of dominoes fell during that time. There was a lot of lives that were taken down to very low level households, so a mm-hmm. lot of poverty and unemployment. There was a lot of homelessness and a lot of social unrest in this time period. The Depression era prompted an increase in women's rights, technically, because during this time a lot of men didn't have enough money to go and pursue a higher education. Mm-hmm. So all of these women that were like, we used to have to get married to live our lives, they couldn't. So they were trying to pursue higher educations. Hi, Bolt. Poverty. There was a lot of poverty and unemployment and all these other things that were going on. But like I said before, during that time, a lot of women decided, they were like, hey, I'm not going to rely on a man. And that's a lot how our main character, Janie, looked upon her life. Like,
well, in the end, yes, but in the beginning, she went through these relationships where that was present, like with Logan and Jody, and it was a mess. But I think that as she continued to see that she didn't have to be reliant on a man, because that's what she was taught by Nanny and things like that, once she met Tea Cake, really the perspective kind of changed.
Yeah, which I definitely agree. Mm-hmm. Because whenever she first started off, she was still in that child mindset, to mm-hmm. where she didn't know if she was supposed to listen to what Nanny had taught her all her life, to rely on a man. Especially during the time period, it really escalated her growth as a young woman.
Mm-hmm. Which leads us to our second question, which is, in the novel, Tea Cake hits Janie. Does his explanation for hitting Janie justify the traditional stereotypes of men and women? And what are your thoughts on these stereotypes?
Personally, my personal affliction with this entire portion of the book is I thought it was stupid. I did not think that TK's explanation of him trying to assert dominance or pride over Janie was, I didn't think that was necessary, nor did I think it was correct. Mm-hmm. I think that it did justify it slightly mm-hmm. in the time period, because I understand, like, you're a dude, you're trying to be a cool kid and, like, pull yourself up and be, like, the man of the house or whatever, but it still does not, it doesn't provide the, like, if you're mm-hmm. going to show dominance, you don't have to hit someone.
Yeah, and it doesn't reflect the love that he put on
exactly.
Janie this entire time.
That was the entire aspect of her growing as a person and getting to Tea Cake and that being, like, her man's, and he loved her no matter what. Mm-hmm. That whole entire setting of him hitting her did not help with everything that was going on.
Yeah, well, thank you, Zoe, for
Anytime.
Your insight.
Thank you.
All right. And that concludes our first interview. Alexi, how'd you feel about that?
I think it was a pretty good insight into Janie's growth as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and kind of how she became this, like, very, like, disciplined girl into a feminist, idealistic woman, which... Yeah,
she's different from just every person in that time period.
Mm-hmm. She yeah, for sure.
Branched out.
Which I think would be a good thing to bring into our next interview with Sarah Tate.
Definitely.
We are now here with Sarah Tate.
Hello.
And as we were talking about earlier with Zoe, we were discussing Janie's growth into a feminist, idealistic woman during this time period, and we feel like Sarah Tate is going to have some good insight on that subject because she's a feminist queen. So our first question for her is...
How does Janie grow from her first marriage to her last?
She goes from being, like... beaten and degraded to being proud alongside her significant other as opposed to being put down by them. She had to go through a lot of these things on her own and, like, stand up for herself and struggled with love because of her, like, quote-unquote, seemingly too high expectations for a relationship. But women were kept hidden and covered to prevent others from seeing them, and men were selfish of them and treated them like items as opposed to someone they genuinely loved. And it wasn't unusual for women to be treated like this, but after going through two marriages, Janie pretty much had enough of it. So when she was with Tea Cake, she did keep her expectations high, and after he kind of warmed up to her and broke some of her barriers, he pretty much met every one of her expectations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And our second question is...
How is Tea Cake different from Janie's other two marriages?
Tea Cake was almost kind of, like, bedazzled by, like, her beauty and her sense of confidence, and he does things with her and for her, as opposed to just making her do things for him. They're very compatible, and he kind of makes her realize that her once thought, like, high expectations were actually completely normal to be asked for, because she deserved to be treated that way. Yeah. There's a quote from the book where she's talking about asking him why he cares if she combs her hair or not. And instead of, you know, him saying what Jody would have said, which is, well, I don't want everyone else to see it looking pretty, he said that he can't sleep good without his fingers in her hair, and she likes it when she's soft.
Wow.
So it's like he wants to pleasure both of them together as opposed to wanting her all to himself.
What a gentleman.
Really.
Truly. He's so sweet.
But, yeah, it's just cool to look at, like, the different growth and how she pushed through it and basically can say she's been through it all now and she deserves to be in the kind of relationship that she was in with Tea Cake.
For sure. And I think that is a good reflection of what I think feminists today, like, they're not saying they don't want to be in a relationship. They're just saying they want to be free to be themselves in a relationship.
They deserve to be in a normal relationship where they are treated equally, because you guys are supposed to work together in a relationship, whether you're gay or straight or whatever. Like, the point of a relationship is two people working together.
For sure. Yeah. Well, thanks for your insight.
Thank you.
All right, Lexi, how do you feel about that one?
Well, I think it really showed both Janie's growth in herself as well as her growth with Tea Cake.
Mm-hmm. And kind of tying that back to society, not only in the time of the book, but in, like, today's time, and kind of looking at gender roles in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, this concludes our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. And peace out.
Bye.